Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, September 21st, 2016. With me today, Kelly Gaumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I am all right. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I am good. I am ready for our weekly mind meld.
I bet you are. Yeah. Hey, speaking of mind melds, I am going to be melding my mind with people on September 26th. And by that, I mean I am teaching an introduction to podcasting class at Boulder Digital Arts. So it's a three-hour class in the evening, and it's priced at, I believe, $69 if you are a Boulder Digital Arts member, or $89 if you aren't. And I have a discount code. So, if you use the code JGAMETPOD16, you get 15% off.
Hey.
Yeah, I know. And if you come to the class first, we're going to have a lot of fun, and I'll be really excited to see you. But then second, I'm going to take you from the very basics, like how do you even get sound into your computer, all the way up through... Now you've got a finished show. How do you get it on iTunes? And how do you get the word out about your great new program? So what's the website? It is boulderdigitalarts.com. Head over there and sign up for the class and come join me. I would love to see you there. And use that discount code also. And I'll put a link in the show notes, because I know not everyone can just take something from their mind and magically transmit it directly into their web browser. So, anyhow,
I can. Class.
Well, I know you can. That's why I said not everyone. But, John, I know you can totally do that. Hey, so yesterday I talked with Brian and Dave about macOS Sierra, because it was launch day. Mm-hmm. And so the operating system came out. They actually released it right as I was about to publish the show. So so for those of you that were listening yesterday and were wondering when we were talking about if it will hit before the show comes out, the answer is yep, it sure did. But but it's out. So we should talk about it a little bit now that people actually have it in their hands. And I'll start by saying the upgrade process went just as smooth as I expected, meaning no problems at all. And it actually did exactly the thing you shouldn't do if you're in my position, which is I upgraded to Sierra, closed the lid on my laptop, threw it in my bag, and then took off to the Denver Apple Pi Mac user group.
And, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and did a presentation. By the way, Michael... Your dad was there, and we talked for a while. He's really cool. So hey, keep him around. He's a pretty cool dad. But my presentation went fine. And
surprised you didn't put it on the MacBook Air instead.
Well, the MacBook Air, I already had it there.
That's where
I've been running developer beta.
Yeah.
And that's a good idea if you have an extra Mac that supports Sierra. It's not mission critical. Play with it there.
Yeah. Now... John, that brings up an interesting question. And so I'll preface this by saying yesterday when Brian and Dave were on, we talked about some problems that were already known, like the Fujitsu ScanSnap problem, mm-hmm. where PDFs can lose their content, and the Tascam problem, where they actually don't even bother to get around to working on drivers for an operating system until after it's been publicly released.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And so it may have sounded like what we were saying is, holy crap, people don't upgrade to macOS Sierra. It's going to be a disaster. And that may not be the case. But the question is, should people hold off or go ahead and upgrade right now?
I think there has to be a method to the madness. When, as I've said before, these are not spontaneous activities. There has to be some sort of doctrine or policy that you have. You know, are you a podcaster? Are you mission critical? Are you working in a government environment? Well, you're a government, you don't have any control over it. But are you just a casual user without a whole lot of apps that you use on a critical basis, and you want to just experiment and see only Mac you have. So I think it's helpful to think about where you are and what you want to do. There's a great website called roaringapps.com mm-hmm. that has a database of what apps are compatible. You might want to just scan through your applications folder and look at which apps might be a problem. I was talking to a guest, potential guest, who's going to be on background mode, and the guest mentioned that the upgrade to Sierra hosed Skype temporarily. And if Skype is something you use a lot to talk to friends or family overseas or something like that, you know, you might want to check on compatibility there. Sort of, you know, size up the situation. Don't be in a rush. It's not something that is so exciting that you'll have to have it right now, like, you know, a new iPhone. So make a list. Check it twice. Size up your apps. Look at compatibility. Make sure you have backups. And we're going to talk about that in a second.
Yes, and John, it's interesting that your guest for your upcoming show had a problem with Skype. I did not. Skype has been running fine for me in the betas, and just to make it very clear, I'm not having trouble. The machine I'm recording on right now is the same machine that I installed Sierra on last night, and the two primary apps that I need to get a show recorded, Skype to make the call happen, and then Audio Hijack to capture all the pieces. And everything seems to be running fine so far.
Cool. Well, maybe that future guest was using an old version of Skype that folded under the update to Sierra. People tend to let their Skype versions get out of date.
Well, people tend to let a lot of versions get out of date, which is part of the issue that I have, because... here's the thing, is that Apple's OS updates are now free. And it used to be that they were, some people might remember, well, yeah, in the old days, they were $29. No, in the old days, they were $129.
Yes, they were.
And it was an event, and there was a thing, and you went to the place and lined up and got your copy and whatever. Anyway, I kind of miss those days, but only because I enjoyed the socialization of getting to go to the OS launch parties and also t-shirts. But that's a story for another day. You still need to budget for an OS upgrade in a number of ways. Either Sierra is out, it does something that you need, and the computer that you have right now won't run it. Or perhaps you need a new peripheral, or you have to pay for an upgrade to an app. For example, Jeff, I know one of the apps that you use to record is Audio Hijack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's entirely possible that the version of Audio Hijack that you run right now is not the Sierra compatible version, and you may need to pay for an upgrade to that. And as a person who does software support the rest of the time, I can tell you there are a lot of people who go upgrade the OS because it's free, it's an easy thing to do. And then they realize, like, oh, but I use this application as part of my job. This application helps me make money, and I didn't bother to check first. And it turns out that this application is broken. What do I do?
Well, and you got to remember, Kelly, too, that the versions of Mac OS lately have been more in focused on under the hood improvements,
right,
and security, and not dazzling new features, although Siri I suppose is pretty cool, but I wouldn't say that there's so many dazzling new features in Sierra that it's a must have
right
day one.
You know,
I mean, down the line, yes, but
that depends.
Maybe not day one.
There are a lot of people that desperately need to have the clipboard handoff sharing feature across all their devices.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Desperately?
Yeah. Yeah.
Desperately seeking handoff.
Yeah.
It would be great.
See what I did there?
I see what you did there,
but
I tried to ignore it. Anyhow. Yeah, so that could be a must-have upgrade feature for some people. I know there are people that have been really excited to get Siri on the Mac, and uh-huh. that might be a reason for them to upgrade right away. And so there could be any number of reasons why someone feels that they need to upgrade right away. And if that's the case, okay, great. That's okay.
But take 15 minutes and sit down and go, what is on my computer? What applications on my computer can I not live without? What if one of these is not working? everybody has this list. If one of these apps doesn't work, my computer is a doorstop until it does. So figure out what those handful of things are. It's usually a counted on one hand, sort of a number, but sit down and think about it. Cause like, you know, your web browser is going to work. So if your mail client doesn't work, you can still probably webmail into whatever it is that you need. And it may not have all the filtering and stuff that you have tricked out in your particular mail client if your mail client isn't Sierra ready. But that's a thing that you could at least get around for a little while if you know a fix is coming or something like that. So sit down and really think about it. I always sit down. I actually do this to this day. I sit down and I make a list. Here are the things I need to make absolutely sure are 100% compatible before I muck around with anything. And like Jeff, I'm a person who relies pretty heavily on audio applications. And so I always hold off because I would rather let someone else be the person to do that troubleshooting.
That, so, by that, you mean me.
Lex Friedman and mm-hmm. some of those guys. I always sort of hold off because I'm not a person who needs like the super duper high performance that you guys do. I need to make sure I have a good setup and that my setup is working. So I usually hold off and make sure that the audio stuff is where it needs to be before I will upgrade to anything. And because I've been an Apple user, as long as I've been an Apple user, I remember when updates would come out that would cause a lot of havoc to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so I stand back. I used to, in the olden days before we had such instant feedback on this kind of stuff, I would wait at least a week to make sure I hadn't heard anything from any of my usual, like, I know people who work in hardware repair and, you know, Apple. Ooh, like, cool. Here we had our authorized resellers.
That's a nice trick, Kelly, that you mentioned obliquely. If you're on Twitter, do a search on Sierra, hashtag Sierra, and see if there's any reports.
See what's up. And then, so now you have a lot more instantaneous feedback. So that also helps in that those loops are nowhere near as big. So I used to wait about a week. Now I will usually wait about 24 hours, do a couple quick searches, make sure that there is no catastrophe happening. And, you know, for my iPhone, for my daily driver, I made sure that I held off. I installed nothing until iOS 10 was officially released. And then once it was officially released, there were some issues. So I waited.
T-Mobile customers had an issue.
Yeah, there were, and I was, and when I saw the T-Mobile stuff immediately, I held off a little while. And when I went to download, what I got was 10.0.1.
Actually, that's what everyone got. The official day one release was 10.0.1. And that confused some people because they thought, wait, did I miss the actual update? And they've already rolled out a new one. And
so, no. But yeah, like I will hold off on that because I know what it's like to actually have to restore from backup to just open that can of worms. And I don't, you know, because we need to talk about backing up. And I'm not a person who's interested in having to spend all of my day restoring an entire hard drive block by block, even though that's the fast way to do it. It still takes a long time. Sure. And I don't want to have to do that if I don't have to. And I don't want to intentionally make more work for myself if I can help it. So
speaking of backups,
I'm a hands-off person. And so what I am going to do for the rest of this week, before I upgrade the OS on my computer, is I'm going to make sure that all my backup systems are running.
That's a good call. And Kelly, it's kind of funny you say that right now because I'm picking up this vibe. John really, really wants to talk about backups.
And that's why I wound it up, so I could hand it back to him, because I could feel the disturbance force as soon as I said backup. Yeah.
So John, you have something to say, I gather.
Well, before the show, we were talking about what we all use, and it was remarkably compulsive, obsessive, that we all use at least three different systems. I use, of course, Time Machine, because... Mm-hmm. It's easy to use, and you can go back and grab a file you may have erased. My favorite tool is Carbon Copy Cloner from Mike Bombick. Every Friday I do a carbon copy clone of my Mac Pro. And that gives me a warm fuzzy that I have a bootable clone that's identical. So if something happened to the hard disk, I'm sorry, the SSD in my Mac Pro, I could boot from this external drive and hold the fort until I figured out what I wanted to do. And then I also use ProSoft's data backup. It's now at version 4. I'm ready to upgrade. And I'll make sure it's Sierra compatible before I do that. So I have a little SSD that's external that I back up my user directory with that. And I also use ProSoft to back up my iTunes library. So I use three tools. And then some people use more. They use cloud backups.
Yes. My backup routine is Time Machine, Crash Plan, Dolly Drive, ProSoft's backup, and Carbon Copy Cloner.
Cool. And that's probably not to be considered over the top. I mean, that's just routine, business as usual, professional, paying attention to business.
The official best practice for backup is, or at least it used to be, two backups minimum, one of them offsite. Mm-hmm. And that's where the cloud stuff comes into effect. So I'm going to give a shout out to Backblaze, which is my...
Backblaze is awesome also.
Which is one of my favorites. I, too, use Dolly Drive. And I use Time Machine, but I don't view Time Machine as a... as like a real backup. It's like my incidental sort of backup system. So yeah. I use Time Machine, but I don't count it as like, this is my backup. because I have Dolly Drive running, Backblaze running. And, I do the disk copy, you know, Carbon Copy Cloner. Mm-hmm. And, I actually do that twice. I have one that lives on my desk and I have one that lives at someone else's house. So smart absolute move. Worst case scenario, like once a month I rotate them through. So for people, so I used to do hard drive support in the olden days. And when I say olden days, I mean I did some hardware support for the Apple branded external 1 gigabyte hard drive. And the reaction most people had to that device was, what on earth are you going to do with all of that space? I'm not even kidding you. That's how long ago it was. So I remember a statistic that was passed around when I worked there was 25% of all computer users back up. More than 50% of users will experience data loss at some point in their computing lives. So if you think about that, that's still a 1 in 4. You know, even if there's 100% overlap between the data loss people and the backup people, and I've talked to people who
data loss. There's no pill for that.
Yeah, and when the one hard drive that everything lives on, you know, does a swan dive off the side of your desk and has decided that this is the end, you don't want that to be an issue. You know, and one thing that I always tell people when I do, you know, support, whether it's software or hardware, is if this device, whatever it is, you know, vanished tomorrow, how long would it take you to get up and running? And how much stuff would you be missing because you have no way to replace it?
Well, Kelly, that's the thing
people need to think about.
That's why I'm a big fan of these RAID 5 systems. I know it sounds scary, and they used to be very complex and very expensive, but there are consumer RAID systems now that have 4 drives in there, and you can have, you know, 10, 15, 20 terabytes. And if one of these drives fails, one of the features of these RAID systems is that if one drive fails, you just yank it out, and most of the time they're hot swappable. You don't even have to power down. So you just yank this SATA drive out, and you plug a new one in that you ordered from your favorite supplier, and it takes a few hours to rebuild. Zero loss of data, and you hardly skip a beat. Relying on one single drive is why we use so many different systems.
Yes. And for people playing along at home, the RAID system that John is referring to is more commonly, if you're out shopping by brand name or something, you're looking at Synology, Drobo, QNAP. Lots of these places will sell you a box that you drop hard drives into. And then you just figure out, you know, which ones are the, you know, how to set it up so that they're the hot swappable.
that Apple would come out with what's called the Apple Family Server, and would have this awesome XServe, great GUI interface. You'd have this app that runs on your Mac that just gives you, you know, there's the son of the XServe management tool that was so brilliant. And you'd have these little light indicators and the health of the drive and the throughput performance and everything. And then it would tell you if a drive was imminently going to fail, and then you should hot swap it out. And it would have this beautiful box where, you know, the drives would be, you know, well numbered and well identified, and it'd be a flashing yellow light where you'd say, this is the drive you swap, and, you know, and it would just be the Apple
that
experience.
RAID.
That would be the Apple experience, wouldn't it?
Well, you'd think that, except I remember all my friends who ran out and bought time capsules the minute those were available.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't have one.
Yeah.
Hey, that's really why.
We're out of time. So
I want to drop one tip really quick.
Okay.
For people who did the homework, found out everything was compatible, upgraded to Sierra, and it still feels like maybe things weren't as compatible as you thought they were, the first thing to try is to restart your computer and see if that changes anything. Because sometimes it takes a couple of restarts for all the kinks to work out when you upgrade to a new operating system. And the other thing would be, if that doesn't help, try restarting. And as soon as you hear the startup sound, hold down the shift key. And then when you get to the login screen, it should say safe boot. And then just restart a second time and log in that way. And see if you get any different results. Because a lot of times it just takes a restart or two to work out the kinks that you end up with. So even if you do all the legwork and it seems like maybe you're not getting where you need to be, it might just be a restart or two that will help set things right.
10 seconds for my quick tip.
Okay.
Make sure you have two admin accounts on your computer.
Yes.
So that if one can't log in or someone has a problem, you have an admin and you have admin authority over your computer with a separate account.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I like these tips. All right. Well, like I said, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
You're more than welcome. I was glad to be here.
It was awesome. And John, thank you for being here too.
The Vulcan Mind signing out.
That's right. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.